but that is how most people know me. So,
we didn't ask that because we were afraid.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, y'all with red hair here don't have red hair.
I'm glad to be here, though. I do the videos at North Boulevard, so I'm in charge of overseeing everything. If you see any of our Facebook live streams or watch any of our sermons online, I'm in charge of all of that, unless you see any mistakes or mess-ups, and that was someone else. But so I don't get a chance to visit other churches much because I have to be there on Sundays, but I'm really thankful to be here and to be able to be with you guys tonight. And so I'm going to jump into what button? Oh, here we go. This, I don't have the verse number, but it's Exodus 20. This is from the Ten Commandments, and it's verse, I have it pulled up, it's verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So this stands out among the Ten Commandments, because the rest of them we read and seem to instinctively know this is morally wrong, and even if it wasn't written, our conscience would, I feel, guide us, especially as Christians, to not do that. But this one stands out as something that isn't quite an ethical matter to us. But I hope to encourage you to do it for non-ethical reasons, but because it can help with a lot of struggles in your life. I've been trying to do it for about the past couple months before I prepared this even, but as I was preparing it, I even more felt the need for it, and so I'm gonna talk about, this is just the Seventh-day Adventists, just some quick facts about it. I'm not gonna read all of them, but just skim through. So it has 18.1 million members, which is more than the Southern Baptist Convention, the Methodist Church, or Mormonism across the world. And so they worship on a Saturday instead of Sunday, and they honor it as a day of rest. They don't engage in secular activities. We don't work during that time. And we look at that time to be rejuvenated. And then there's also an emphasis placed on health. But then the first, the big thing, I'm not promoting Seventh-day Adventism, but the fact that they keep the Sabbath, this last fact is really interesting. They say because of their diet and their rest, they, on average, live 10 years longer than most Americans. And they can die of cancer, stroke, or heart disease. But the age at which those diseases and illnesses are diagnosed is much later because of their healthy lifestyle and resting on the Sabbath. So that's one example of just statistically, it's better for you. But then also, this is just a fun fact, but in the French Revolution, they actually were rebelling against the Catholic Church and decided to change the day to a 10-day week, change the week to a 10-day week because of they wanted to just sort of be different, and they stopped and switched it back because everyone hated it, and they had to work 9 days and then get 1 day off. And so that's an example of the standard set by God. And so I'm not trying to talk about a day off, but specifically the Sabbath. And so the difference between the Sabbath and a day off is that the Sabbath was something that God commanded us. And the reason why is because he wants us to remember it and keep it holy. So here's two verses. You see, it's a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor, and it was refreshed. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So you see, the explanation is, remember you're a slave, now you're not. And then remember, God created heaven and earth in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. So we talk about being godly, and this is how God did his work. He worked 6 days, and then he rested the seventh day. And so he set the standard, and it's a reminder of who we are as a people, that why are we doing this? Because God did this. And it's also a reminder for his provision for us, which I'll get into later. But so the difference is we remember who God is, and we keep it holy. So if you saw in the Seventh-day Adventist quote, they say they don't just take a day off, but they refrain from secular activities, and they keep it as a day to remember God. And so here's some of the reasons that it stands out as different than just a day off. It shows that we trust God. I know I also help with college students a lot. So me and my wife Mackenzie are planting a church in Oregon, and Eugene, Oregon. And so I've been doing a lot of ministry with college students to get ready for that. And there's just a huge need for ministry among college students. And so I feel like I could work every hour, every day, just cut out sleeping, and I would still feel like I'm not doing enough. There's just so many people in our circles that really need to be reached out to and to be loved on, and it's just impossible for me to do it. But so the decision to take a day off, and I decided to have Saturday as my Sabbath that I'm keeping, for one reason is that I work on Sundays. I work 7 to noon, and it's a lot of stress, because if I mess up, everyone on Facebook and everyone in the auditorium sees it. But another reason is just, I think even if I didn't work on Sundays, I'd keep it on Saturday. For one reason is it's a day of rest and peace. And Sundays, when I was in school or worked, I always just worried about having to go back to school all day Sunday. And so Saturday, I have that peace of not having to go to work tomorrow or school. And then also it's good because obviously I love going to church, but it's nice to not have any what I would call have-tos. So anything that I know I have to do scheduled on this day I'm taking off, but I know I can just start to finish, have this. And so as far as keeping this day off, the hardest thing was, like I said, it's overwhelming how much need there is for people to reach out to college students. And I just feel like, but I could be meeting with this person on Saturday or meeting with this person, but it's sort of a leap of faith in the fact that it's a reminder that the fate of MTSU isn't on my shoulders, but this is, God is the one who's guiding everyone, and God's the one who is providing and working in their lives, and I get to trust God to carry all the fate of them on his shoulders, and it's not on mine. And so these are two books that are worth reading: The Rest of God, Restoring Your Soul by Restoring Sabbath, and Fearless in 21 Days. And I'm not going to quote them, but they both talk about, obviously The Rest of God talks about rest, but Fearless in 21 Days is about a woman who ended up crashing really hard and had to have a lot of treatment and a lot of work done to learn to overcome anxiety and depression. And this is her testimony of some of the things she learned that can be reproduced by us. And so it's 21 different things, and one of them was rest without any guilt. So she was a mom who was overloaded with pressure about taking care of her kids. She was a workaholic. She just was filled with stress and pressure and just worked 24/7. And then one day she crashed. And she says, because of that crash, I had off and on anxiety for years, and one of them lasted an entire year. And that's a whole year that I'm not going to get back because I didn't rest. And so we talk about wanting to work all day because we don't have enough time to get everything done. And she lost a whole year. She could have done so much with that year, but she lost it because she couldn't get out of bed. She was so anxious and so depressed. She just snapped. And then in The Rest of God, he talks about, you know, you need rest. Some of the signs being you stop caring. You stop caring about work. You stop caring about your family. You stop caring about your hobbies or things you're interested in. And so both of these books are worth reading, but the point of it is taking a day of rest keeps us from burning out. And I know just from my own experience, I can work all the time and get a lot done, but I'm going to be doing it in a really bad mood if I don't stop and rest, and I'm going to be doing it in a way that I'm not going to be my best, and I'm going to do it until something happens and I'm forced into resting. And since just making my Saturdays free and doing my best not to plan things on Saturdays, I've just been really a lot better day to day as far as my mental, just my mental state of mind. And another, this is similar, but it breaks our addiction to working. So a lot of people don't think about just the fact that being a workaholic is a legitimate addiction, and it is something that can be very harmful, just as all other addictions. And if you do this, it's automatically, if you're not going to work a full day, it's automatically going to keep that from happening, keep that addiction from coming about. And so here's three reasons on one slide. And this is, we admit we can't do everything. We admit we depend on God, and we admit we are vulnerable. Because everyone in here is getting our power from God, and we get our strength from God. And if we take that day off and think about God, it's going to remind us just who we are. And it's going to remind us that, yeah, we can't do everything. We need God. And I need God, and I depend on God. And the reason I'm able to do this is because everything's not on me as just Jonathan Young, but I'm walking my life in God's hands, and He's the one taking care of everything. We have to slow down and spend time with God. This is a basic one that applies even if you don't take a Sabbath day. It's so essential to being Christians, as you're not going to get fuel if you don't stop and refuel with the Word and with prayer. If you don't have that quiet time where you just appreciate, everything that God's done with you and your relationship with God. And then not only that, but our families. So I definitely know of plenty of people who just worked all the time and it took away from their time with their wife and kids, and it was just a nightmare for them and it ruined them. But I even know a lot of ministers who have, they just put their ministry as number one in their life, and one day their relationship with their wife just snapped and it ruined their families. I can think of at least two people I know of who they just put their ministry first. And something I've learned as a church planter, I'm glad I learned this early on, but me and Mackenzie said we'd always put each other second behind God, and God would always be first. But I learned that doesn't mean my ministry or my church plant's always going to be first, but they have to be underneath my family. And Michael Strickland is someone who goes to our church that used to be a campus minister. And we once asked him something about this, and he said, these students that I minister, I can role model to them, but if I can't, there are other people out there that can help. But my kids are only going to have one dad. There's no one else out there who can be their dad. And my wife only has one husband, and no one else can provide that for her. And so it's a good time if you have that cleared out, and if you do your best not to think about the future, but just focus on your family and focus on God, you can learn to just appreciate each other and just appreciate what you have. And then another one is just, this is what Jesus did. He took time to himself. He didn't spend all of his time ministering. He snuck away at times. This is from Mark 6. And going down a bit. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while." And Luke 5. Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. Mark 1:35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Luke 6, and it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Matthew 14, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. And these verses have always stood out to me, not just as the Sabbath connection, but as prayer and rest. And it's just incredible to think how many people can just brush off prayer and rest and think, I can do without it. When Jesus, who was God, he had to pray. He had to spend time in prayer. He didn't spend all of his time working. He had to rest. And if he had to, clearly we have to. So, I mentioned this earlier, but we're made in God's image, and we show this to others. So the Jews, this is something they were well known for, the Sabbath. And so they had the opportunity over and over and over in the ancient world when they were living among the Romans or the Greeks to, if someone asked, why aren't you doing anything on this day? They say, because I believe in the one God, and this is what he did, and this is what I'm doing. It was a reminder of who they are, but it also showed it to others. And so a modern day example is, this is one of my favorite movies. It's pixely, but I don't know if you recognize it, Chariots of Fire. So it's about this man, Eric Little. He was an incredible runner, and he made it to the Olympics. But so he took the Sabbath on Sunday. It was actually really common not that long ago that Christians did take the Sabbath seriously. And so this was in the, I can't remember the exact date, but mid-30s to early 40s, because he was martyred not long after he became a missionary. But so he made it to the Olympics, but his race was on a Sunday, and he wouldn't do it. And so the race he was supposed to do, he just gave up because he said, I'm committed to honoring the Sabbath. And he ended up going to a different one. But they made a movie about it because it just shows, it's a clear sign how honorable this guy was, that he would live out his Christian walk to the point of denying a chance to run in the Olympics. And just, we may not get this extreme of a chance to show through the Sabbath our faith, but it can, even in a little way, just show that this is our faith, this is what we believe. Even if it's not mandatory, if we do it and say we do it because of our belief in God and because we want to be like God, it's going to be a testimony to everyone. So I'm going to close with this verse from Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. All right. Thank you.